Welcome, everybody. Today on Horror Movie News, we have trailers galore. We're talking Venom. We're talking Glass. We're talking Godzilla, King of Monsters, Slender Man, and the Puppet Master, the littlest Reich. All this is so much more. It's killing me. Oh, my God, my heart. I think I'm having... let's get to the show.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Don't you blame the movies.
I think Anthony's dead.
Could be.
Welcome, everybody.
Wow. That's good luck.
God,
I like
sorry.
That. Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. I passed out for a little bit. Is everyone okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
We're all fine.
I think we survived.
Okay, cool. We survived the intro.
Woo!
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Horror Movie News. This is episode 37. We're three episodes away from 40.
37. Wow.
I know.
Woo!
What the heck?
Yeah, right?
Go us.
Go us, everybody.
And go viewers and listeners for being there.
Yes.
And, you know, we're not just totally talking into the void.
Yes, especially the viewers and listeners. Go you guys.
Yeah.
So, let's get started. My name is Anthony Becerra, and to my left, I have...
What's up? Carrie Lane here, and we're live in the chat. So, if you're watching it live, join us. And then, if you're watching it later, comment down below.
We see you. Hey, guys, mm-hmm. I'm Oliver Drennan.
Right on, yes. I think we are all on the chat, but yes.
I know, right? We're all like...
I would like to apologize to our viewers that because last week we did not go on. I wasn't feeling well that morning, and I decided that we're going to cancel the show for that day. But we're back. We're here. We're doing our thing.
Yeah.
Well, you should be following us on Twitter because we did some posts, though.
Right on. Yes,
so
we did.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Horror News PTN.
Yes.
Horror News PTN on Twitter.
Thank you. Great segue to some crypt keeping. Let's clean this place up. You can find us on youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. That's the official channel on YouTube for the Popcorn Talk Network. Network. Why did I say that twice? Don't know. And also follow us on Twitter at Horror News PTN. And as well as our official website, popcorntalknetwork.com, where this show lives on. And last but not least, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find this podcast, or if you even listen to it on podcasts, wherever you just, you know, just rate it 5 stars. that's the main point. Wherever you listen to it, just rate it 5 stars, or the as high as you can go, and leave a review and feedback, and we'll shout you out on the show. And
Whee!
Also love you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. All right, so The Abyss. Let's get into it. So I saw a movie. You guys saw movies.
Totally.
Who wants to top us off? Let's do this.
Well, I'll go first.
All
right, always up to bat.
My movie.
The Swing?
I think it just came out, Unfriended. And I talked about the first one a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. Before
you are
Comic-Con.
A fan.
Unfriended, Dark Web. And I think I enjoyed this one a lot more than the first one. But let me tell you,
okay,
this movie, I think it's worth a watch, definitely. I really like this concept of, like, having, like, this found footage. Or not found footage, but it's kind of like you're just watching a screen. It makes you have to, like, pay attention at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be on your phone. Obviously, I watched it in theaters. But, like, if you were to watch this on Netflix. But, yeah, just you have to also pay attention to the text as well.
Ah, yes.
There's mm-hmm. text. And I feel like the acting in this was really well done as well. But not to spoil anything, it's just... It's really dark.
It's really dark?
Yeah, it's a dark.
But why? Is that bad?
No, I don't know. I just...
What are you...
I okay. enjoyed it, but like...
You're like a basher, I know what happened.
It is
a dark web.
Yeah, but I think you guys should see it and tell me what you guys think. I think, like I said, the acting was really well done. And it also had a character that I think... It's cool. They had a deaf character. I'm not sure if the actress was deaf, but mm-hmm. if she was, shout out to the casting for incorporating an actual deaf actor, mm-hmm. if they did do that. And I also think the concept is really interesting as well of having, like, that whole, the dark web, the dark side of the web, and having, like,
yeah.
this human trafficking. It's very scary. Hey. It's, like, super freaky, and how... And I feel like that kind of exists. And,
no,
like,
I think it does.
Trading weapons.
No, there was a thing called the Silk Road that existed solely on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's stories. There's numerous of creepypastas that exist online that, like,
that's
play
exactly
off of the dark web and play off of how, like, you know, there's a kid who, like, messed around and, like, wanted to hire an assassin. And
yeah.
It turns out he went into the wrong site online, mm-hmm. and then they were after him. And, like,
yeah.
and people are, like, crazy on there. So they can, like, track your IP address, track where you live.
Yeah.
Like, all this, like, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's numerous accounts that we just don't know about.
Yeah. And I think this was a lot more enjoyable than the first Unfriended. The first one, it involved cyberbullying. It's about that. A girl died and everyone who bullied her is, like, paying the price. Whereas this one was about the dark web and...
Right.
Yeah, it was really
right on.
Really cool.
So yeah, I mean,
check it out and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy the VHS movies. You know,
yeah.
Like the first one was great. The second one was pretty good too. And I like the new concepts that they always like the second one they had that whole like GoPro aspect to it. I guess both of them did, but I could see how it's Unfriended is like a play off of that what VHS kind of created.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Like you know pop in a different tape and it's a different thing, but it's now it's more like hey look, check this out. They're on the internet and they're on the chat group. And then I like, so yeah, that's pretty cool. And you said it got really dark to the point where you just like
it made me
sick,
sad.
Did it upset you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But that's good. Yeah. No. It's
I'm
good.
Like, oh, please tell me more. But that's fine. I'll watch it. Yeah, for sure. Carrie, you want
to? Yes. Well, kind of segue of the. You kind of said in that. I saw Killer Legends, which you had talked about before. And it's one of those going through lists. I keep going, did we talk about this? I feel we did. But it's nice to find it.
Yeah.
So this is a documentary, if you don't know or remember that episode. It's from 2014. It's pretty much just goes into these two filmmakers exploring urban legends and really looking at what the real cases were that inspired them. And I find that super fascinating because, like, it makes sense that, you know, something actually happened. And some of it, they do get to the bottom of the facts and some they don't. And that's a little frustrating, but it's very real life. Like, they can't find it. Though there was a thing that they're like, there was skin under their fingernails and nobody said DNA test. And I'm like, please, somebody. Or just cut that line because that was driving me nuts because I was waiting there. Like, the real truth. I'm like, so you did a DNA test, right? Right? They never do. So just so you know. Spoiler, not spoiler. Anyway, it's on Netflix. It's really good. If you like urban legends, I felt it's perfect kind of going into the Halloween season because they even explore the urban legend of like candy being bad at Halloween. And guess what? It's all pretty much an urban legend of what really went down. Which that was a good case reveal. I like that one. I'm not gonna tell you what happened because it's really good.
Poison candy.
Did they also?
No, it's poison candy. But like the whodunit was actually really interesting.
Ooh.
I forget. Was it this one where they also covered the clown?
They do. They have clowns. It was.
I need to
Candyman.
This.
It like candy at Halloween. The hook, like the hook man. Legend of like Lover's Lane, which that's actually not
a hook on the
but that's actually from where it was actually a gun that was used to rape a girl, and so they're like, that's the metal object penetrating, thus kind of the hook went, and you're like, oh, I can kind of see and just how it disgustingly morphs through time. That's what they're saying, like
it's like a messed up version of telephone through the
and
ages.
That's the fascinating thing about urban legends is that like we as society essentially make them up because the real truths are just too horrific that were like, yes, it was this. It wasn't, you know, some sicko or whatever.
They evolved throughout the years.
Yeah, and that too. So, highly recommend it. It's really interesting.
So, it's both of you have seen it now.
Yeah, now it's your turn.
Now, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I gotta watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's on, it looks like it's on Prime Video and Netflix. So, Amazon or Netflix, Killer Legends.
Cool. Oh, I have a neat app to help you find things. Whether they're streaming or where to rent them on stream, but I'll mention that later on because I personally watch a lot of things streaming. So if anyone is on that same boat, I'll hit you guys up with that later on because it's not that important. But
sorry, real quick before you go on, I Sky Patterson points out in the chat says I love the film Urban Legend. It's a guilty movie pleasure. I actually really like that movie too. That's another thing I did love
Don't
about this movie. I forget if you mentioned
Don't
about Killer
about
Legends.
It.
They do a really good job of editing film footage from horror movies into it to like
I love that.
I was like oh yes, that one and that one, like example of like the babysitter at home, and then it's like clip with the names on it, which I'm like, oh, I love that editing because then I'm thinking of, well, what about this one, then they show it, which is great because then if you're a fan of horror movies then they're like, here are the examples of how this urban legend is in film.
And that always gets me in the mood, just like, damn, I want to watch them.
I know
now.
You're like, I'm gonna watch all of them.
Look at this. Yeah so right on. All right, does that wrap up your
yes.
So all right, urban legend and dark web
killer
unfriended.
Legend. Legends.
Killer Legends, my bad.
Though Urban Legends are good. It's in the 90s horror, which they're their own breed of horror movies, but
that's
I love
like
them
the
too.
That's like the young teen like slasher films.
Of that
right.
time, yeah.
Yeah, there was a book that was recently released on that, but I haven't gotten around to reading it. But anyways, moving on. I'll do my movie. I talked about it before 2 weeks ago now. So it was Office Uprising, and it was one that was like exclusive
on
Crackle.
Yeah,
we saw a trailer for it. So the director is Lin Oding, and this is actually his first feature. Okay, let me read the synopsis. An employee at a weapons factory discovers that an energy drink turns his coworkers into zombies. But here's the thing. They're not, like, classic zombies. They're, like, aggroed out zombies. Like, if they get annoyed, then their veins, like, they get this special effect where their veins get all black and they get like, really... Mm-hmm. Think of it like roided out zombies. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty hilarious because you're in a corporate setting and they're, like... It's established early on in the film where the higher you go up the corporate ladder, the douchier they get. So it's funny because you're messing with roided out douchey like zombie guy like dudes, mm-hmm. and then not only dudes but also like women as well, yeah. like there's a whole like the HR department, there's a whole scene there where they kill one of their own. Overall it's really great fun.
Like the trailer makes it look comedic, so it's on purpose. Okay,
it's super comedic, super campy, super like don't fun. Take this serious, like the main character, Brendan Thwaites character, mm-hmm. he's a stoner who like he does not give a crap about this job. He literally goes there and just like works on his like video game app all the time, mm-hmm. and tries not to like be in trouble. And then so it's Brendan Thwaites and it's Jane Levy, which is to the left, and then it's Karan Soni who plays Dopinder in Deadpool and Deadpool 2. And also I forgot about it, but Zachary Levi is the main antagonist in this, and he is fantastic. He's so funny in this movie. I love it. He plays like a straight up like a corporate guy, but he's like really like snobby, and it's just so good, especially when he starts getting all roided out. Oh my god.
I need to see this.
It's on Crackle only,
okay. You will have to sit through commercials, and I would say avoid skipping or rewinding because I got effed because I did that, and I was like I had to start all over, I was really a little frustrated, but anyways, and check out their stuff. I mean, it's all free. They have some cool things on there.
Cool.
I highly recommend it if you like anything that's campy and fun, like Dale and Tucker versus Evil, whatever. Yeah, like all that. Like
Shaun
fun.
The Dead.
Yeah. It's literally like a lighter mayhem if you think about it. Like it's a campier mayhem. And it's very fun. I very enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. There was this really cool transition scene too, where he's like his friends back home like play Mario Kart, but like in actual like shopping carts and like with themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a part where he's in the cart, he falls over and he tumbles. And mid-tumble, the scene changes to him being back on the desk, sleeping. And I thought it was really cool. Like, just a neat little transition there. Some of the CGI was a little cheap, but I mean, like...
kind of feels like it goes with the vibe, though.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's this really great fight scene, too, where it's like... they just go up against a whole room of them, and it's just really funny because Karen Sony's character, he doesn't want to kill anybody, but he's holding like a knife, so when he moves he just like accidentally slices someone's throat, and he goes I'm sorry, and when he goes sorry and he goes backwards,
it's somebody else
he stabs someone else coming up on him in the eye, and it's like the it's like the funniest thing ever. I don't
like
know
how much he's laughing
loud.
And talking about it.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And there's this one scene that Zachary Levi says to one of the main heads. He's like, he's about to kill some guy, and he's like, I was in the army, and he was like, you were stationed in like Thailand or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just blows his head off, and he goes, I hope you enjoyed the lady boys. I was just like, what? Like, it's the most absurd line, and I love it. But yeah, that was Office Uprising. Definitely super fun.
I can tell you really liked it.
Really fun. I liked it more than I thought I would. Okay. So yeah,
I need to get on that because Crackle also did Dead Rising a couple years ago. They had a Dead
Rising. That's right. Film it's still on there. You can check that out.
So you need to get up on Crackle.
Yeah, but just you just gotta sit through commercials. Ollie, push your mic forward a little bit. Right on. All right. Yeah, I think so. Let's do this. All right. So, next segment, we are doing horror history, and this movie is, we're doing Dracula. So, we're going to, this is a coordinated effort here.
Which is great, because last time was pretty much the other one, Nosferatu.
Right, yeah.
So,
it was a Phantom last week.
Oh, no. The one before.
But yeah, Nosferatu. Yeah,
recently.
And I'm going to touch on that a little bit. All right, so, Steve, are you ready? All right, are you going to count me down? Okay, so the film is Dracula from 1931. So I found it on... You can find it on Star Streaming and also rent it everywhere else. The director is Todd Browning, and it stars Bela Lugosi as Dracula. And Dwight Frye as Renfield, Edward Van Sloan as Van Helsing. The synopsis is, the ancient vampire Count Dracula arrives in England and begins to prey upon the virtuous young Mina. All right, so why is this film important, and what did it do to elevate the horror genre? Well, first off, this film actually saved Universal from the Depression. It was released in 1931, so that's around the era that was all going down. It also established the horror genre in Hollywood, because most of the films before have been German or foreign films. So it established the genre in Hollywood because it was such a huge success at its time. But ironically, the film is very flawed, and I do agree with it. So the editing is very wonky. The continuity can be very hard to follow. You really have to piece together. So sometimes when it just cuts to another scene, you're like, huh? Or like it just shows you something. You're like, why did they do? You know, whatever. Yeah, kind of a lot of those, okay. You know? And it's funny because I also learned that the director Todd Browning he wasn't used to directing talkies, because this is around the time where like sound was being implemented in film. Mm-hmm. And it was rumored that his director photographer Carl Freund directed all of his scenes. So that's a rumor that went by. So it's possible he didn't even direct this film, like the credited director. Hmm. Despite the problem that it had, though, it is a quintessential horror cinema. Mm-hmm. I believe the saving graces of this film comes from two actors, Bela Lugosi as Dracula. His performance is superb. I mean, he's like, when you think of Dracula, you think of him. Like, even if you don't know his name, you think of like that Dracula. At least for most people. And his portrayal of Dracula is so renowned, so like known throughout history. And his presence in every scene is so powerful and intense. But personally, I really enjoyed Dwight Frye's character Renfield, because he's terrifying in the film. He goes from being an innocent real estate agent to the disturbing slave of Dracula, but also he's a man who's guilty of his action and is split between his vampiric tendencies to serve Dracula, but he's also trying to be able to like keep his own humanity intact. And so throughout the film he's struggling with that, and his performance is just so wonderful and so weird. There he is, that's Renfield right there, and it's so wonderful. There's also a little bit of subtext to give it to as well. So the film it mainly focuses on Dracula mainly focuses on women of low class and also high class. He visits them in the bedroom at night and preys on them on their innocence and the purity. So it's kind of like the men trying to protect themselves from Dracula stealing the purity of the. Oh no! And I guess time's up, ladies and gentlemen.
You did a good job.
Thank you. I tried to go as far as it, but yeah. So pretty much it's just like a little allegory. Be like, no, protect our women from these foreigners and everything. But yeah, so that was our horror history in 3 minutes, and for next week we are doing 1931, Fritz Lang's M. It's just the letter M. I looked it up. You can stream it on this thing called Canopy, which I have no idea what that is, and Filmstruck, which is what the Criterion Collection created, the Filmstruck, where all the Criterion Collection is found. And you can also rent it on Amazon Voodoo for like $3.
Nice. So, yeah, I watched that in my German German film class.
Yeah, it's great. I saw it for film history in one of my like college classes as well, and I very enjoyed that one too. Real quick, let's do some iTunes shout out. Well, actually, just a reminder, 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you're on YouTube, give us those thumbs up. And also, we're in the live chat. Whoever's there, thank you so much for being here. I know everyone lives busy, busy, busy lives. I do as well. And so I really appreciate you joining the fun. And we're all chatting it up. And special shout out to Rugged English, who was on the Scare Guys last night. And I was like, hey, check out my show tomorrow at this time. And
he's here.
And he's here. Rugged English.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So just a reminder to that stuff, to all that good stuff. I believe you want to address the chat real quick.
Yeah, quick shout out to everybody in the chat. We got Rugged English, Sky Patterson. I know I saw another name up there.
Edgar.
Thank you, Edgar Alves, and Marvin TNT. Thank you, everybody who is joining us in the live chat. And if I didn't get your name, sorry. Good question. If we get to it at the end, what defines a horror movie? Let that marinate. So at the end, we'll touch upon it quickly. Oh, there we go. We'll do a time it. Like, everybody gets 1 minute.
Oh, for us?
Yeah. Okay. At the very end, if we have time at the end.
All right, let's
do it.
We
got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we do. So we have a bunch of trailers. Let's just start rolling them in.
Yeah, start the trailers.
Yeah, just start the trailers. We'll talk over them. The first one up is Glass.
Oh, snap. Woo! There she is, Sarah Paulson.
Yep. Okay, so it stars Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, Samuel L. Jackson, Anya Taylor-Joy, Sarah Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply extraordinary.
Our modern-day scream queen, Sarah.
Nice.
Maybe this will all make sense if I explain who I am.
Yes, please explain.
I know, right?
Like, are you good or bad in between?
I mean, she's trying to help them in a sense.
Is she, though?
I mean...
Does she have a power of her own?
Ooh. Oh,
like, I wonder, like, how is, like, she just having all three of them sit there, like...
I know, right? I want to know that, too. How did that happen?
The Beast? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm terrified.
Yeah, he was on the loose last time.
Oh, my God. I love him so much, James.
Oh,
and they're
dude.
All just chilling. The
three of you. I know, it's so uncanny. Like something. So she's explaining.
He's like Eraserhead. She can hold her powers.
David Dunn. She's pretty much just like.
To survive that train wreck all those years ago. What do you do?
She's explaining why like superheroes don't exist, mm-hmm. and then glasses are like, nah, hold up. Like once he starts talking, it's just like, no, you're wrong. Oh.
My name is Patricia.
Oh my God! If you haven't seen Split,
yeah,
you guys gotta watch Split.
I'm Mary Reynolds.
Por favor, señora.
We almost got you, bro.
That live in that body with you.
I wonder if she's gonna have a similar role to the therapist and like the, or not the therapist. She's like a psychologist in the first film. Remember that? I'm sure it'll be significantly different.
Oh,
like,
for mm-hmm. for James's yeah. James's like psychologist. What do you mean?
Do you remember the therapist or?
In what film?
The first Split.
In the first Split.
Yeah, the old
or
one.
Or the Unbreakable.
No,
in
no, Split.
Split. Okay, I was like, the first Split. Yeah, the old woman who was, like, taking care of James.
Yeah.
Didn't she die?
Sky Patterson in the chat points out, I love Glass. I love a good psychological horror thriller. Glass is going to have a twist. I can feel it coming. Well, probably. I mean, all the other ones did. Split and Unbreakable, essentially. And it's a Shyamalan movie. It's going to have a twist. If you like it or not, that's a little bit unknown, but that's what he does in all his movies.
Yeah, he's known for that. It's a staple.
Sometimes they're really good twists, and sometimes they're like, eh, saw it coming. But
yeah. Like the bad
guys. I still want to know what Anya's role is.
Right? I feel like Anya's going to be the only thing that the Beast can, like, or James...
She can tame him?
In a sense, yeah, like...
Or them, because he has multiple.
Because they were able to really relate to each other in the last film, in Split, mm-hmm. you know? That, so I think that's the reason why he didn't kill her. Because he said that you are like me.
Mm-hmm.
You are, like, we share the same amount of pain that we, like, you know? So it's like, in a sense, I think she's like...
January.
She's able to. She's able to ground his humanity in it all. Mm-hmm. I think that's what her play is.
That's her strength.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing I do have a little gripe with is Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis has been sleeping through his films recently.
Yeah, you didn't even see him in the trailer barely.
Like, I mean, you kind of see him, but it's just like
maybe they're saving it.
Yeah,
because they don't want to show us too much.
The trailer did a good job of like not showing us. Well, it showed us a lot, but it was good that it didn't. We don't know like how the plot's gonna go. At least
right.
I don't.
Like, no,
I'm
I
like,
don't know.
That's a really good trailer.
Yeah,
trailers today. Like,
I'm like, no,
everything.
Don't tell me too much. Please stop. Back up.
Yeah,
it's like,
and that told us nothing.
And I want like maybe tone of the movie and what it looks like. Don't tell me.
Oh yeah,
anything
that's exactly
else.
What we got. Yeah, very very grounded, like superhero reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that shot of McAvoy just charging on all four.
Mm-hmm.
Like straight beast mode. I was like, oh, this looks good. Yeah, the only little like hiccup is like, Bruce Willis, can Shyamalan give him a swift kick in the ass to wake up and be like, hey, come on, get better. But anyways, that's my opinion of it all. Next trailer, we got Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So yeah, this I believe this trailer featured Mothra, Rodan, and Ghidorah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the three big baddies.
Oh, I saw the moth.
I noticed the moth. I was like, yes.
I thought the moth was in the first film, wasn't it?
Mm-mm.
What was that? This is how much I care about.
There was like, I forget what they're called. I'm terrible, but they were just like these creatures that like, I think
they're
they were like newly designed for like. The
Wait,
Godzilla.
Is this the Matthew Broderick one?
No. The first Godzilla, like the Godzilla before this.
The one with
Kick-Ass.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there was another one, too, before that.
No, I remember that. We remember
Scarlet
that one.
Witch and Quicksilver, they were together. It was funny.
Old lady died, the beast got her. Thank you, Marvin TNT. Also, I like your little Hellboy insignia there. This is a very compelling trailer. I was very surprised. I was like, I don't give a damn about Godzilla. And then I saw this, and I was like, I kind of give a damn about Godzilla. I was like, this
you're
is
like,
cool.
I do now.
I did not like the last movie. I thought it was really boring. I like Kong Skull Island, though. I thought that was
yes,
pretty bad.
I did like
pretty
Kong.
Beast.
That was fun.
That was
I don't
fun
know if I liked
hell.
It, but it was very entertaining.
That was dope as
they
hell.
Had a great cast. Brie Larson.
Dude, that spider bamboo scene was...
Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
I love how gory it was, too.
I have some problems with it, but that's a different podcast.
Slight rewind via the chat. Judy Ellen says regarding Glass, either way, a great twist or an amazing reveal. There you go. It'll be a twist or a surprise. But I guess reveal is almost a twist.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one looks so epic.
Look at this. I know, with
epic.
This music, too.
Yes.
It makes it feel so much better.
And it has three very strong female leads.
It's so euphoric, you know? You're just like, oh, yes. The music swelling, the explosions, the CGI.
And I think this one will focus more on the characters rather than Godzilla.
Honestly, if you're like, what's the last Godzilla about? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't quite recall.
I feel like they focused... Have they always focused on character?
The last one did more. Matthew Broderick one, maybe not as much. That was like the 90s.
Yeah, can we... Ooh. Yes. King of the Monsters versus King of the Kong.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what this is leading up to. Directed by Michael Dougherty. Yeah, he's the writer-director of Trick or Treat. And Krampus, which I'm like, oh, that's also why I cared more about this. Like, oh,
yeah,
I like this director.
Trick or Treat, yes. I like Trick or Treat.
Stars Millie Bobby Brown, Vera Farmiga, Sally Hawkins, Kyle Chandler, Thomas Middleditch. All these people are great. And this is like establishing the monster universe by Warner Brothers that they're setting up. So I'm guessing that by the end of it, we'll see Kong come out and be like, yo, what up, God?
So this was like a continuation of Kong Island or no?
In a sense, remember at the end of Kong Island, like the little button where they go into the cave and they show all these?
So that's the same universe.
It's a shared universe, but they haven't bridged the gap yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's happening, and I'm sure it's going to happen at the end of this. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a after credit scene for this one as well. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. On to some quicker news stories. So that's the two trailers to top off this show. But yeah, so after that, so let's get into... Oh, this is very quick. So there was a new Predator poster, and I just think it looks really cool. It was
that
a Comic-Con.
Cool.
They were giving this... Like, you had to enter a contest for Comic-Con and whatnot, and this was actually signed by the cast and crew and everything, so it was pretty cool. And also, it's made of human skulls, pretty much. Like, that's all human skulls.
Oh.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so it's, like, really...
Oh.
Yeah, you see, like, human vertebrae. That. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I was like, this is dark and dope. I like it. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. That's one of two posters here. And then so the next poster we have is the Summer of 84 poster. And yeah, so
I'm just excited because I want you all to see it.
Summer of 84 poster. Yeah, it looks great. Really hitting the nostalgia button here.
Yeah.
And I like how they have like their flashlights. You can see the house in the back. Yeah, so we're might as well, we're on the subject. So this film is coming out in theaters. It's limited release. I don't know if it's coming out in your area. It sucks if it doesn't. But on top of that, limited released on August 10th. VOD on demand is going to be August 24th. So maybe you can catch it on demand, hopefully.
I have seen it. I highly recommend it.
I have seen it too. And
oh, did they get you a screener link then?
Yeah.
Yay! Love it?
It was a great film.
Okay.
That ending though.
Right? I'm like, we can all talk later.
We'll talk.
It's a really good.
I haven't seen it.
I know, yeah.
It's a well done 80s vibe horror movie.
Yes. And it's by the same directors of Turbo Kid,
yes.
Francois Simard, Anouk, and Johan Carl Wissel. And so that's a trio that names themselves Road Roadkill Superstar.
Yes.
And we actually were able to interview them already. It's a pre-tape, so that's actually going to be our episode next Tuesday. And it was, unfortunately, you two couldn't make it, was on a Monday. Mm-hmm. So Evan Mack joined me as well. And it was perfect because like, I was like, hey, can you come in? He's a horror fan as well. And he's like, can you come in? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay, cool. I need you to watch two movies. One I don't have the screener for yet, but the other one's Turbo Kid. And he's like, bro, I already got that. Like, I got that on Blu-ray. And I was like,
They're super different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. Yeah.
Which is so great of like how they're filmmakers in terms of like, they made such different style of movies so well, and they are thinking they're planning another film. It'll be different from these two. And I'm like, I can't wait to see what you do. I love both the other ones.
Yes. We touched base on that on the interview as well, and how like they want to do all sorts of genres.
Yeah.
And I did a deep dive on these guys. I checked out their Vimeo. If you just type in RKSS.TV on Google and look for the Vimeo page, they have over 20 like short films, and I saw a bunch of them. They've done like really spoofy old school kung fu kind of like short films.
Oh, cool.
When where the audio sounds like this, you stole my brother. Kind of like, you know, the kind of like style, and it's so fun. Like all their stuff is very fun.
I will touch upon this comment. Marvin TNT in the chat says Summer of 84 looks like Stranger Things. I saw it at Sundance as a midnight screening, and that was kind of touched upon, and they were saying, like, was inspired by. They actually had this written long before before Stranger Things came out. Now, it's one of those, this just seems to be the zeitgeist right now of, like, 80s and nostalgia and everything like that, and unfortunately, whatever came out, people are going to be like, so it's like that. Yes, but no. I would say, yes, it's kids, but the way Dark, which is, have you guys watched Dark yet?
Not yet.
Talk about? Okay. Dark is like Stranger Things, quote unquote, but totally not exactly the same time. Yes, it's main kids. Main characters are kids. Yes, it's like horror based, but you're not going to go, well, this totally makes me think of that. No, it's just an 80s movie where kids are the main characters.
It's a completely different plot.
Yeah. Super different.
I get like a little triggered when anything from the 80s is compared to Stranger Things now. And
you're
just like,
guys, you know Stranger Things came out now and there's 80s movies.
I know. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Stranger Things is not the epitome of what 80s movies are. Like, you know, everything is stemmed from the 80s.
I feel like
Stranger Things is influenced by the 80s.
If Stranger Things is like your first like go to like to compare anything, I feel like you really need to like expand your horizons and like
it's like understandable really because Stranger Things it was the most
and it's very well done.
Yeah, and it's also the most like widely received. Like everyone freaking loved it. Like, you know, because it was on Netflix, because it had so much easier access to it. But even Stranger Things itself takes from so many. It's got a whole decade to take from. Like, just look up the 80s movies.
Also, Summer of 84 is not Supernatural.
No, it's not at all.
So, like, Stranger Things, that's how it's, like, super different. It's, like, saying, like, a ghost movie and a slasher movie are the same. You're like, no, they're very different things.
No,
yes,
this
they're
is
both
very,
in horror, but...
Very, like, well-grounded in, like, reality.
Real.
And that's what makes it even, terrifying, you know? And then there's elements of Rear View Window by Alfred Hitchcock. There's elements of... Oh, Rear Window. Thank you. Sorry. I always put the view. There's elements of Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Stand By Me.
Stand By Me.
Thank you. Stand and Deliver. Hey, Kimo. Go to school. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Anyways, Stand By Me. Like, there's a lot of elements, and we touch on all that in our interview as well.
And this isn't putting Marvin TNT on blast, but it's you're not the only person that has said that, and we just wanted to be like... Hold on.
Yeah.
Other people have thought that, but don't jump to that first.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, if you like that, you're going to like this. Of like, if you like kids as the main characters dealing with things bigger than themselves, then it's great.
Yeah. All right. And also on to our next bit of news. So Suspiria, a film I am very looking forward to. I love the original. I think this new one's in great hands. And it's by the director of Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forgetting his name right now. So we had it's pretty much the first cut of the film. Clocked in at 2 hours and 50 minutes. That was the first cut, and I was like, that's pretty long. And now it's been confirmed by the film's official Twitter. I believe it was yesterday this happened. That the official runtime for Suspiria is 152 minutes, which translates to 2 hours and 32 minutes. So they cut roughly 18 minutes off of the original cut.
Well, come on. We've seen long movies lately. Our superhero movies have gotten longer, so... Come on, people. Pace yourself. You can do it.
Yeah, but then, like, people are, like, complaining that, like, Hereditary was too long. That was, like, an hour 40.
It depends on the tone of the movie. There are some movies where if it feels
Well, this is
long.
Very upsetting. Like, I can already tell this is a very upsetting movie.
Yeah? Like, how long is the original?
What do you mean? Suspiria?
Yeah.
I might have clocked in. Can you look that up real quick on IMDb? It might have clocked in, like, around 1:30 or so. Mm-hmm. I think it was just standard. It could have been longer, but I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean... Especially when with a film that, like, really relies on the atmosphere and the tone to really set things up.
Sure.
Which I this is what I get from that.
Hour and 38, but it was also made in 1977. 70s movies are really slowly paced.
Yeah, they are. So. That's true. So maybe it's like a little, like, ode to that as well kind of thing, you know? But who knows? Either way, I'm super psyched for it.
I'm down
for
it.
So down for this movie. But yeah, so that's just a little bit of news on Suspiria's front. Official time is 2 hours and 32 minutes.
All right.
So I dig it.
Go to the bathroom before you go in.
True. Good advice. Yes, yes.
Get these people who get up during the movie. I'm like, who are you people?
I know. I hate it when I have to do that. And I kind of like stand in the entrance. I'm just like, I'm going to go in now.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you're guilty too.
Yeah. On to the next bit of news. Yes. So, Sony China decided to share a wonderful piece of artwork for the Venom trailer.
That looks so cool.
It looks terrible.
No, it looks cool.
It looks shoddy. It looks so bad.
Well, it actually looks more like a cartoon though. But that still makes me excited.
It looks like it was made on like the early stages of the internet. Like the Flash player kind of like, it looks like this is like something found in Newgrounds.
But it's a movie based on a comic book, so it looks kind of like a comic book panel.
I mean,
it
sure, but
look
like
something that like the film like is going to produce. It does look a little comical.
It looks very stylized.
This
like,
is pretty laughable.
But Venom, Venom looks like it's going to be comical too, at least from the last trailer. Because I thought it was supposed to be dark, but the last trailer was a little bit comical.
Dark humor.
This is like what someone...
You look like a turd. I was like, what?
This is like shoddy art, like a fan art to me, you know?
With that hand on closer inspection, but, not so great.
But anyways... So
Us know. Comment down below. Do you think this looks stupid or is it kind of cool?
So they tweeted this out and the occasion was to announce that there was going to be a new trailer dropping today, actually, because I was writing this yesterday. So I believe we do have the trailer as well for Venom. So let's just pop that sucker in and we talk about it. So this is my second time watching this trailer. I also watched this on Marvel Movie News.
New trailer.
Right. Okay. New trailer.
San Francisco.
Mini trailer for the trailer.
I'm a reporter.
I'm a reporter.
Find myself. Question.
I'm still very salty. I didn't get to interview them at Comic-Con.
Aww.
There's Riz.
I found something really bad.
Really bad.
Did they do a lot of interviews?
No.
Or?
Oh, they came in. They answered like one question and left. Took pictures and left.
Damn.
Bummer.
But that's, and they were like an hour late, which isn't their fault, but it's like, I guess it's Comic-Con. Like,
that's
just
a bummer, though.
Time.
So this is the newest trailer. It's definitely improves on everything we've seen. At least in my opinion, I really like what I'm watching. I still don't know what the main storyline is. I can kind of guess, but I truly don't. No. My God, that looks so cool.
I don't know, if he likes it so much, I'm like, why aren't you in there trying that out? Because that guy's like, that's the new species. I'm like, then why aren't you doing it?
Because he's got a company to run.
First, you know?
Yeah,
like, and then
I guess so. I guess so. Well, Marvin TNT in the chat agrees with me, comic book style, and thinks it looks cool. And
really?
Edgar also thinks it looks cool. Thank you. Thumbs up for both of you.
Well, I think it looks like shite, but whatever.
But that's also, that's not our poster. Maybe that appeals for a different audience. It's a different country's poster.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how they...
That was cool.
I don't know how they released that.
You have a deal. That looks cool.
Oh. Can you bump it up a little, Steve? Thank you. Oh, my God. Give it a lick. A little kiss. So... I do believe, I haven't read this, but it's I hear it's based off of the Lethal Protector series, and that's a 6-issue series that turned Venom into an anti-hero. And in it, Eddie Brock, who he moves to San Francisco, where he's captured and has a small portion of symbiote seeds. Oh, he's captured there, and he's like he's got the, he's already Venom pretty much, and he has small portions of symbiote seeds plucked from his suits, and they turn him to create the offspring of Venom symbiote. And there's five main ones. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's Riz. There he is. And I believe that Koi told me that's Riot. That's believed to be Riot, which is one of the offspring of the Venom family tree.
Okay, this bit is kind of comedic and dumb. You will be this honest, legless. I was like, okay. Rolling down the
street like a turd. Like a turd.
What the hell are you?
We are Venom. And then I hope he bites his head off there.
Oh, I have a parasite.
See, that was funny.
Name is Chen.
Yeah, like that segment I laughed, but the, like, you're a turd. I was like, what? I'm not familiar with Venom enough. I'm like, did he make dumb jokes?
It looks so cool, weird though.
No, the trailer looks so good.
I don't know how it works, because, like, people were thinking about that, too. And I was like, well, if it's a symbiote, like, does he have access to, like, Brock's brain and everything? And it's, like, how he works, how he's wired and everything?
Because then, if it's Brock saying it, that totally makes sense.
No. Well, I mean, I'm saying if it's a symbiote, they become one. That means that he's able to, like... The personality of Brock bleeds through Venom in a sense, because I mean Venom is an alien species, and if it's a symbiote, and if this is how he lives, he's able to adapt. He has to learn a lot of things about new species right away and how well to do it. Then to be like, I'm gonna come take you over, and I'm gonna learn everything about you from you right away.
Well, judging by that, it looked like they are really like in symbiosis. Like he was totally fine with doing that to that one robber guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if he's a robber, but. He seemed like he was cool with it. Hell yeah, Venom, let's go kill people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I also wanted to bring up that there's, like, I found this cool, like, a family tree of Venoms of the symbiote. That's cool. And I wanted to focus on the top five, like, the top row, because that's, if you see this. So it's from the left to right, I believe it's, the one on the very left is Carnage, which is, Woody Harrelson is rumored to be in this film, and he's playing Cletus Kasady, which is a one of the first offsprings of Venom that's known as Carnage, which is really cool. And then Riot's all the way at the right. And then there's next to Carnage, there's two female symbiotes. And in the film, there is a female,
there's
like
Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Jenny Slate. And there's also Michelle Williams. So I wonder if...
But we didn't see Michelle Williams, but Jenny Slate looked like she had a little bit of that symbiote going on. Symbiote action.
I'm familiar with...
Happening.
Is it Screech?
It's Scream and Scream? Agony... I can actually see this. Lasher, Phage, and then Riot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Venom family tree, y'all. So hopefully we get to meet the family eventually.
I wonder if they're going to fit all of them in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But yeah.
Or it'll be a post-credit scene or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. To expand on that. But like if you guys want to check out, just type in Venom symbiote family tree and you'll find this image. And I thought it was pretty neat to go with that to, you know, shed some light on like the background to Venom, because I rarely know anything about it. I should probably read this before October, but you know, we'll have time. I don't have time. Anyways. So who knows if the other four will show up in the film. If you guys want to share any of your Venom knowledge, please feel free. Shoot away. All right. On to the next story. This is pretty big. Was sort of big. Remember when Morbius was like, or Jared Leto was rumored to be Morbius? Well, it's confirmed now. Jared Leto is Morbius. Everybody.
Question mark.
Yes, he will be helming the character of Michael Morbius, the award-winning biochemist who tried to cure his rare blood disease that also is the cause of his horrific deformities, but instead he botched the He botched the experiment somehow, and that imbued him with vampiric superhuman abilities and physical capabilities because he got his DNA crossed with a bat. So,
as one does.
Yes, one does. As is tradition, especially in the Spider-Man universe.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I guess he can be considered like a vigilante / anti-hero too.
Depends what he does with it, yeah.
Yeah, because he's not evil. He's like a scientist. He just wants to cure himself. But at the same time, it's like, man, I really like that blood. I really got to get me some of that, right?
He struggled. I mean, I watched the car. I remember him so much from the Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, with the hand suckers.
Yeah, he struggled with it, though. Like, he didn't like killing people. Like, right. He went through phases where he's just, like, hated himself
and
for doing it.
And I think they'll probably do something like that to kind of humanize him and get the audience behind him.
Yeah, I remember, like, his fiance was a big part of his whole, like, arc and everything.
Yeah, and how, helping him or something.
Yeah, she does. He loves her, but, like, he's, like, a monster now. So there's that whole dynamic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cool. I like Jared Leto. Sometimes he can be hit or miss. Like, some of the movies he does that are a little, like, questionable. Like, I really enjoyed him in Requiem for a Dream and Mr. Nobody. He also won an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club, which I haven't seen, but I'm still waiting to see. But I did not like him as Joker. And also that one samurai film or whatever, samurai Yakuza film that was on, it was exclusively on Netflix. Yeah, I forgot what it's called. It's like Nomad, I believe it's called. If you guys just wonder, you can look that up. But yeah, he's like in a recent film where he's in Japan and he's like part of the Yakuza and he's really good with the sword, I guess. I don't know. It looked questionable and I was like, I don't buy this. It's like Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai kind of style. I'm just like, I'm not going to watch this. But maybe that's where, if you guys have seen that movie, hit me up and see it. It's good.
Let's see.
Saving Grace for me, actually.
Oh, 2036, sort of. Nexus Dawn. No, that's a short. Oh, he's in a short for Blade Runner. Oh yeah. Because he's in Blade Runner, too.
He was decent in Blade Runner. Yeah.
But I agree. He's kind of hit or miss.
Well, hopefully he follows in the same footsteps as Ryan Reynolds, because he went to from DC to Marvel, and it was really successful. So hopefully that he fills a similar route.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, he's like a crazy method actor. So, so we'll see. Let's see how far he goes. Yeah. I want him to start sucking blood. No, I'm just kidding. And it's being directed by Daniel Espinosa, who directed Safe House and Life.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't seen Life yet. Have you guys seen? Check that out.
No. That's one that I'm like,
yeah, right?
We'll watch it later on.
That was a weird one. Anyways, on to our next bit of news. So at Comic-Con, they had San Diego, no, ScareCon or whatever.
They had Midsummer Scream recently.
At Comic-Con, they had a little thing.
Ah.
Yeah, it was pretty much, they announced that Annabelle 3 is happening, which is cool. And then I realized, like, huh, I haven't seen Annabelle yet.
I saw Annabelle 1, it's okay.
I saw both of them.
I rented it for a buck. I rented it for a buck recently.
The elevator sequence when she's in the basement was pretty good and, like, made you tense. And that was kind of it. Most of the rest of it.
And then the second one's kind of forgettable.
Okay, I don't think
so.
Because that's the prequel to the first
one. Well, that's disappointing.
Oh, I think I saw that one.
I
don't know how excited I am for Annabelle. Well, because, like, Conjuring's so good, 1 and 2. And then Annabelle's like,
all right, for sure.
Yeah.
So pretty much they announced that it's Annabelle 3. It's pretty much the tagline that's heard around Comic-Con is not at the museum with the Conjuring universe. So
that sounds good.
So it's like not at the Warrenzium.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's directed by Gary Dauberman, who was a writer of Annabelle and also It, and also The Nun and Swamp Thing for the DC Online. So this is his directorial debut, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Setup takes place at the moment where they first bring in Annabelle home in order to protect the world from its evilness, but it turns out that putting a demonic doll next to a bunch of other possessed artifacts is not a good idea, because somehow she can conjure them all up. Mm. She's like, yo, homies, let's rise up against these Warren folk.
I always thought that was a dumb idea. Mess them up. Why have this whole museum and they're all in the same space? Because they could totally team up together. So I'm glad they are going to explore that.
This is a sequel to the prequel of the first installment. Okay.
Yeah.
So. I was like, work it out.
Yeah. It goes like 3-2-1. No, 3-1-2. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
interesting.
That's happening.
Third time's the charm. Maybe. I don't.
Yeah. Who knows? I see this as a play. As it's going to open up windows and doors for a plethora of, like, more monsters, a la, like, The Nun and The Crooked Man. And, like, depending on who people love from this film, from Annabelle 3, like, oh, man, I love that guy. They're going to, like, spin off, like, just start handing them away like candy. Mm. I mean, I think that's my idea of it.
After this one, I think they should move on to other things, like be done with Annabelle.
With Annabelle,
personally.
I want to see The Crooked Man still.
I want to see
The Nun looks
Sorry. Oh, but that cosplay, though. I posted that. That's on our Twitter. Go look. Someone did a really good cosplay of at Comic-Con.
You see the group of them?
No.
Oh, I heard about that.
There was a group. I was following Jamie Chung, and she went up to them. They're just, like, speaking. I think they were speaking Latin or something, and they just had... It was awesome. But very cool. Google it.
Right on.
On YouTube. You'll find it. You'll find it.
We also have some other trailers, but we're going to skip one of them, which is a Slender Man trailer. So just check that out. That was really fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really want to show the Puppet Master, the Littlest Reich trailer, because it's very short. And also, we might have some special guests in the near future.
I love the Puppet Master series. They're so fun.
Yeah, I need to check them out.
And that's why they're awesome.
All right, I'm down for that. So the saga continues with the Puppet Master on August 17th with Puppet Master the Littlest Reich. The film stars cult classic Udo Kier, which he's been in Suspiria, Blade, Brawl in Cell Block 99, Thomas Lennon from Reno 911, I Love You Man, and Monster Trucks and Dog Days. He was like Lieutenant Dangle in Reno 911, the guy with the short shorts.
I remember in Monster Trucks too.
Oh, you've seen Monster Trucks. Anyways, sorry. Also, Jenny Pellicer, she's on TV as a cocaine grandmother and also The Bridge, if you've seen those two, she's in that. And also Nelson Franklin from New Girl, he plays Robbie on New Girl, which I'm a fan of, and Veep, that's on Showtime, I believe. Yeah. So it follows...
Don't ask.
Nice little button here.
Don't ask.
Yeah, it follows Lennon's character as his life isn't going so well. He's recently divorced, so he decides to go back to his childhood home, and he brings along Ashley, which is Pellicer's character, and Markowitz, which is Franklin's character. He's like the comic book shop owner, and so they follow his buddy back home, and then at his home he finds a doll in his deceased, and this is also a new poster. He finds a doll in his deceased brother's room, and he's like, "Oh, look at this! That's where you see him picking up the doll, and the knife comes out. He drops it." He decides to sell it at a convention that's celebrating the 30th anniversary of infamous Tolan murders, and all hell breaks loose at that convention when the puppets come to life. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. It's at a convention center, so there's a lot of things they can play with that.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't had a horror movie convention.
Right? Like a movie at a horror convention?
Yeah, or something like that. Like a horror con. Like that's awesome.
I like it.
Sounds good. I support this 100%.
Yeah, and there's a poster. So we're just about wrapping up, so I'm just going to go through this real quick. There's this one film that I'm really looking forward to that's dropping on... it's actually from 2015. It's called Emily. E-M-E-L-I-E. It's dropping on Thursday on August 2nd on Netflix. It's supposed to be really messed up, and I'm all for it. I'm going to watch that and probably talk about that next week. And finally, let's get into some fan epithets. On YouTube, Westy Kid chimes in with, Bella Thorne is filming a survival horror called The Ride. Thank you, Westy Kid. There's a little bit of news from our fans. Edgar Alvarez was late. Poor guy. I'm sorry. Judy Ellen writes in and says, you guys do have a great show. Can really see an improvement from when you guys started. Thanks for sticking with us.
After 37 episodes.
Right on. And so also just give a last shout out for the people in the live chat.
Yes, we have Sky Patterson, Rugged English. Where'd it go? Oh, Judy Ellen, Edgar Ives. Alves?
Oh, yeah, Judy Ellen. Sorry. There you go.
Marvin TNT.
She's here.
I was going to say, I thought I saw that name in there. And thank you very much for joining us in the chat. And
right on. And so just want to tease for next week, we do have the RKSS, Roadkill Superstar. It is a pre-tape, so we're not going to be live, but I will be live in the live chat, so I'll be able to chat with anyone who's in there, just to be like, hey guys, what's up? We did all this, and it was a great interview. I was super giddy about it, and we're going to release that next week as a episode, so yeah.
Yay.
So wait, do we have a show next week or no?
We have a show, but we won't be here.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, just clarify. Magic. Thank you.
All right, pull yourself over.
Hey guys, sorry. I need a pee. TMI. My name is Oliver Jen.
All that tea.
I know, literally. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer, and also tune in Thursday for the season finale of Cloak and Dagger After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We have a special guest. The show is amazing. Tune in, please.
I'm engineering that.
Yeah. And my name is Carrie Lane. And someone's like, horror movie ideas. Okay, so follow us on Twitter and reach out, and we'll tell you what we think counts as a horror movie. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, that's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E, And I guess real quick, I'd say horror has very many subgenres, and that's almost up to the individual to really what counts as a horror movie.
Such a loaded question.
It is.
But we can't get into it. Maybe
reach out online.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So you can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_TonyB_. And please support us here at the Popcorn Talk Network and also on the AfterBuzz Network as well, which is our sister network, which really makes all of this come true and happen. And again, thank you so much to all our fans who joined us today in the live chat and also people who keep commenting. I always see your guys' comments. I always want to reply. Well, let's have a discussion about horror movies. Peace out.
Woo.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.